Evening. It's a pleasure to be with you again. Tonight we're reading for the last time from Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26, we'll read verses 23 down to 28. This is the 12th sermon on the chapter. I don't know what I'm going to preach next Sunday, and that's my fault. I have a list of books that I preached through, topics and series in there, and I have to get that to Colin, and we'll see what happens next week. But tonight, let's read Proverbs 26, verse 23 to 28. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Amen, and the Lord will bless the reading of his inspired word to us. In this section of Proverbs 26, God has been teaching us for the last few weeks at least on the gossip, this personality of the gossip. The gossip's words go down easily. Verse 22. The gossip's words seem precious, but they are actually a load of rubbish. Verse 23. The gossip's words are hatred disguised in fine words. Verse 24. And the gossip is not to be trusted. Verse 25. Now, in the last three verses here in the chapter, 26 to 28, we see three more things. The first thing we notice is the last point on the gossip. But also there are, in the remaining two verses, teachings and warnings about two other various troublemakers. These things are in the Word of God for our learning. Proverbs is a wisdom book. And if we learn the wisdom from Proverbs, from these different personalities and how they behave, then we will truly be wise. But three points this evening. Number one, the gossip found out. That's verse 26. Secondly, God's recompense to those of dangerous intentions, verse 27. And thirdly, beware of the flattering liar, verse 28. The gossip found out, verse 26. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. This is referring to the gossip of the previous four verses, especially verse 24, where the word dissemble means to disguise. The gossip disguises his or her hatred in fine words. So then in verse 26, whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. What do the words in this verse mean? Hatred means hatred is covered, means concealed or covered or clothed. Whose hatred is clothed. And it's an imperfect tense, not completed. The person that does this keeps doing it. It's not a one-off thing. This person deliberately conceals hatred in words, or clothes their hatred in words. And then it goes on and it says, whose hatred is covered by deceit. The word deceit means guile. And then it says, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. His evil or mischief, his wickedness shall be discovered or uncovered, appear. And it's a Hebrew verb tense that means It is a passive thing. The gossip doesn't uncover it, but he is passive, and their gossip is uncovered without their help before the whole congregation, the whole company or multitude. And when you put the words together, the verse teaches or says this: the person whose hatred is clothed, disguised by themselves so as not to be seen, using guile and deceit, God says their mischief, their evil shall be uncovered, will appear visibly before the company that they know. In other words, sooner or later, this verse in the Bible teaches, sooner or later the gossip will be found out or caught on. And that is the case. That is the principle that God's word teaches here. Sooner or later, all the schemes and plots and ploys and manipulation of gossips will be revealed before the company that they were gossiping about. Any teaching from the verse? Yes. The intricate web spun by the gossip about other people, sooner or later, does come crashing down. Thomas Manton, the Puritan, in volume 17 of his work, says of this verse, "The hypocrite is tried that he may be discovered. It is a great part of God's providence to uncase or uncover hypocrisy." End of quote. Sooner or later, the people that the person the Bible calls the whisperer, or the gossip is the modern term, sooner or later, the people whom the gossip has been slandering and maligning, sooner or later, all those people will meet. And they will find out the true story and the things that have been said about them by the gossip behind their back. They will hear the other side of the story. And the gossiper's clothed hatred will be discovered for what it really is. Evil and mischief shall be discovered to the whole congregation. Any application? Well, I needn't really go into application very much, because you no doubt at points in your life have seen something like this happening. Without going into detail, how many times has this type of thing happened in churches and in work and in other places? Someone's going around whispering, and sooner or later their plan and all their wee plot and ploy is found out. And all of a sudden they disappear to a different church or a different job, never to be heard of again, because they cannot face the people whom they have been deceiving or talking about or playing against one another. And what an embarrassment it is when the two people they've been playing against one another, or more than two, have met and discovered the true situation and find out what the gossip is up to. The gossip has been winding both sides up, stirring conflict quite often, and it is suddenly seen, and they're revealed as a whisperer, or a tale bearer, as the person is, this character is sometimes called in Proverbs. I've seen this more than once. Of course, no names, but I seen this in a family many years ago. I was party to it and saw the details. There was a family, and for probably unknown reasons, maybe something wrong even mentally with the person, but there was a mother in this family, and she pled her children against one another. And I mean, their children were grown up and married. But she would say to one of the sons something that wasn't true about the daughter. This is fact. And then she would say to the daughter something that wasn't true about the son. And then she would say to the other son something that wasn't true about his brother and his sister. And this went on for years. And there was a lot of conflict in that family. But then one day, and it was amazing, it was in God's providence, one day there was a crisis in this family. And the brothers and the sister, and they all met and they all had it out. And they discovered what had been said by the gossip. The things, the untrue things that had been said. They discovered it, and they all apologized to one another for believing the lies. Now, at that point, the gossip, she banished her children, refused to speak to them for 7 months. Refused to speak to her grandchildren for 7 months. Imagine that. So that I couldn't believe that until I seen it with my own eyes. Imagine a mother doing that. Can a mother forget her suckling child? Not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget you, says the Lord. What the Bible says is true. Now, it was worth making up, and after 7 months they made up and got on with it because it's family. But that literally happened, and the gossip was found out to be a gossip, and it was extremely embarrassing. Extremely. See, God's word is so practical, and God puts these things in the scripture, and they are so practical and fitting in real life, in our current circumstances. And we're to learn them. Second point tonight, God's providential recompense to those of dangerous intentions. Verse 27, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolls a stone, it will return upon him. What do the words mean? Whosoever digs, opens, excavates. It's an active verb. They actively excavate, dig a pit up. And it means a lion pit, actually, in the Old Testament. A hole in the ground where they would put spikes to trap a lion. Whosoever digs a trap, they'll end up in it themselves. And the person that rolls a stone, to roll away or roll down, the intention of it rolling on others, it will return or come back upon that person. And you put the words together, and what is God's word teaching here? That the person who digs a pit or a trap or sets up a stone trap to catch another will sooner or later fall into their own devices. The stone will roll back on them. Or they'll fall literally into their own pit. So the teaching of this verse is, trappers, beware. Layer of traps for others, beware. It's amazing God puts things like this in the Bible, isn't it? But he does. And to learn this is to be wise. Trappers could very well end up in their own trap. You could say this verse teaches the same lesson as Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry used to be on a cartoon. I don't know if it's still around when I was small. Or the Road Runner. I remember the Road Runner. Tom or the big bad coyote in the Road Runner would set up the most intricate trap to catch Jerry the wee mouse, who was actually a bit of a rascal himself, wasn't he? Or the Road Runner to catch him, the dynamite or whatever it is. But then, of course, wee Jerry comes along, or the Road Runner comes along, and something goes wrong with the trap every time. And the dynamite doesn't explode, and the jaws of the trap don't snap shut. And then the villain comes over to inspect why this didn't work. And the Road Runner and Jerry, they're away on. And then Tom the cat picks up the dynamite, and all of a sudden it goes off, poof, and he's all black and covered in smoke. He gets caught in his own trap, or the Road Runner is away, and the coyote comes over and inspects the jaws of the trap, and it snaps shut in his own head. See, Such is the entertainment of small children and grown men. I still love the cartoons. This verse teaches exactly that. Beware a trapper. The trap you built for others could sooner or later catch you. Charles Bridges says, even the place of sinning is sometimes made the place of punishment. Those who plot mischief for others will be overwhelmed with it themselves. Matthew Henry says, this verse is the plotter's doom, the gallows of his own preparing. Another commentator says, a life of crime that is fraught with danger and the malicious man often comes to a bad end. So true. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. You reap what you sow. If you live by the sword, Revelation 13 and 10, you'll die by it. Dangerous lifestyles lead the person into danger themselves. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 11:6. Yeah, 11:6. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and tempest, and brimstone and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. A warning to the wicked person who lays traps for others. Now you see this illustrated many times in the scriptures. The principle taught in this verse, evil Haman, the prime minister of the world's superpower. He gets laws brought in through the king. He builds a gallows about 75 feet high. But who ends up hanging on the gallows? He himself. Because God turns it right around. Or the advisors of the Babylonian king in the book of Daniel. Oh, they go to the king and they get legislation brought in to persecute the man of God out of jealousy. And they're going to get him thrown into the den of lions. They laid an intricate trap. Then they spied on him praying. Then they reported to the king. But who ended up getting it by the lions? They were put right into their own trap. At the end, laying traps for others is dangerous for the trap layer. Now, this doesn't always happen in this life. We don't see it happening, but sometimes it does. There is no perfect justice in this life. The guilty escape and the innocent sometimes suffer unjustly. But in the final administration of justice, that justice will be perfect, for it will be conducted personally by God. Amen. Sooner or later, there will be recompense. And God will infallibly deal out each man's evil upon his own head. As we will sing at the end in Psalm number 7, the last three verses. I remember once I heard about this long after it happened. It was in White Abbey, and it was way early on when I was there. And there had been a plan that I found out afterwards to get rid of me. And I'm an intricate plan, and I found out only after it was all over. The treasurer was leading the way at that time, and you know, it turned out they were the one that was gotten rid of, and not me, without getting into any details. But I also remember this, and this is quite funny. For 1 year, I was the chairman of the Congregational Union of Ireland, because we were in White Abbey Congregational Church, and they alternate the chairman every year. Now, the chairman has no power, he just chairs Congregational Union meetings, and generally speaking, they're a bit like a sleeping tablet, you know. But for 1 year, I was the chairman of the union, and one day I got a phone call from a very angry man. And this angry man had been angry, actually, with me in White Abbey because I spoke the truth. Now, he never attended White Abbey, but his mother did. And he had phoned, and out of all the ministers in the Congregational Union, he phoned my friend in Conesbrook, Charlie Collins. And he said, "Who's in charge of the Congregational Union of Ireland? Because there's a minister, and I want to tell them about him and get this minister disciplined." So my friend Charlie Collins says, "I'll give you this number." And he's the chairman of the Congregational Union of Ireland. So Charlie gave him my number because I was the chairman. And the man phoned me and he says, "I would like to report a minister that you would bring him up before your presbytery or whatever and discipline him." This is on to me on the phone. I heard this with my own ear. I said, "Well, I'm afraid as a group of independent churches, the union has no authority whatsoever to do that to any minister, unless they have committed heresy or whatever, and then they can remove them from the role of ministers, but that's all they can do." I said, "But we have no authority to remove a minister or discipline a minister in that way. We're a group of independent churches." I said, "By the way, what minister are you talking about?" He says, "The Reverend Paul Dowling." I said, "Oh, that's me." At which point he mumbled something and hung up. And I rang him back and I gave him what for in his ear. And I said, "Do you know what Jesus says? If you have difficulty with someone, what you're meant to do? You're meant to go and meet with them one-on-one and talk to them and sort it out." And he mumbled something and he hung up. And I rang him again and he wouldn't answer. And I found out after he changed his SIM and got a different mobile and number after that. And I went to the person who was his relative in the church, who actually was his mother, and told her what he'd done. He's a grown man, he was in his 50s. And she chewed his ear. You see, the trap that he had built for others backfired right on him. The gossip found out. The providential recompense for those of dangerous intentions. Thirdly, the flattering liar. That's verse 28. And lastly, it says in this verse, "A lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin." The word lying means lying, false. Hates those, a lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it. So a lying tongue afflicts, and the Hebrew word means oppresses or crushes. A tongue can be a weapon and used to afflict and crush people. And it goes on and it says, "And the flattering mouth worketh ruin." That word means smooth. Or smoother. Mouth works ruin. The word ruin is an occasion of stumbling. And when you put the words together, the verse teaches that a liar who tells tales hates the person and oppresses and crushes the person that they're talking about. And a smooth talker or a flatterer accomplishes or fashions, creates an occasion of stumbling to the person that they're flattering. The teaching is quite plain, isn't it? The person that flatters you is dangerous. Unless they genuinely mean it and they say, "I think you're a great person and you did a great job," and they mean it, that's great. But a person that's just flattering someone is dangerous. And they can build a person up to let them fall. And sadly, that happens sometimes. The flatterer plays upon the sinful nature's pride. And we're all too ready. I myself included. We all like to hear nice things about ourselves, don't we? We like to believe the good things about ourselves, but that can build up and lead us away to a place where we could fall if we become proud in our own hearts. And even worse than that, where we actually believe that we are great is almost more dangerous, isn't it? It causes the flattered person to stumble in pride. Flattery is a dangerous thing. Let me give you a quote from Matthew Henry, the Puritan, again. Where are we at? Page 946, number 2. Yes. A flattering lie which secretly works the ruin of those it is spoken to. In the former, the mischief is plain, and men guard against it as well as they can. But in this, it is little suspected, and men betray themselves by being credulous of their own praises and compliments that are passed upon them. A wise man will therefore be more afraid of a flatterer that kisses and kills than of a slanderer that proclaims war. I remember one night when I was brought to church when I was a baby in Lisburn. And I've been to churches all my life, since as long as I can remember. But one night in a church, my home church, there was a gospel singer, a lady got up to sing. This is true. And she got up and she sung, and it was absolutely horrendous. You know, it was. She couldn't sing for toffee, as they say. And there's one line every time she came to the chorus, and it was played far too high a key, of course, but this line of the chorus went so high, and this happened over and over, that when that whole line came, there was no sound came out at all, honestly. I looked over at a deacon's wife across, I was only late teens at the time, and she was biting her lip to stop from laughing. It was hilarious. It really. And my brother was sitting beside me, and I wasn't looking at him, and he wasn't looking at me, because it was so bad. It really was bad. And afterward, we got over the embarrassment. Afterward, I heard with my own ears people saying to this lady, "That was absolutely beautiful. That was lovely. You're a great singer. What liars." Now, I'm not saying you go and tell her that was horrendous. There's a tactful thing. You've got good gifts. Maybe we can make use of them in this area, a different area, perhaps, you know. But flattery. And you know what, brethren? You know what it led to? That lady ended up singing about every month for the next few months until people couldn't stick it anymore. Poor wee woman. All because of the flatterers. And she was hurt in the end. What a letdown. Beware the flatterer who fashions an occasion to stumble for the other person and won't even tell them the truth. How dangerous that is. And it is dangerous. So, that's my sermon for tonight. It's just what the verse has said. I'm not making up any more and putting it in. Not as exciting as some of them. Not as bad as some either, maybe. But there was 3 points. The gossip found out. Caught on. Everybody knows. They all find out. And the gossip's embarrassed. Secondly, in God's providence, he recompenses, pays back those who intend harm on others. And they end up being harmed generally in the same way. And the flattering liar. Christians, let us be honest. Let us be wise. Let us try our best to have no guileful plans, but to be plain and honest with others. Let us beware of the flatterer. Let us watch that we do not become a flatterer even, because these things harm other people and they stumble and can fall. All these things, by the way, in Proverbs, the gossip, the fool, the lazy person, the sluggard, all of them, the argumentative person that we've looked at, these are all aspects of the human personality that can be used for good, taken to their extremes where they become sinful. They are sinful things. And we thank God that in Jesus Christ sins can be forgiven. So there's hope for all the people in the book of Proverbs and all these characteristics in people when we bring it to these sins to Christ and ask him to forgive us. Now, I close with a true story that happened to myself when I was probably about 9 or 10 years old. I thought, I'm going to have a great joke with my mum. And I got a plastic cup. I must have learned it off my cousin or something. One day, I filled it with cold water, and I thought, in my great 10-year-old wisdom, my mum's out in the kitchen, and I'm in the living room. And my brother's there, and my wee sister there, a few years younger, and they thought it was a great idea too. So I got a chair, and I climbed up on behind the living room door, and I set the cup of water just above the handle on the top of the door, and the door was open just a wee bit. And I thought, Mum, I called her. And the plan, of course, is my mum opens the door and a cup of water will fall right on her head. And it'll be great fun. And then she would chase me around the table with a drumstick. That's what happened. You got your punishment. And I called my mum. I led the trap, my perfect trap, as I had thought. And she came down the hall, but it so happened, as she came to the living room door, my dad came through the front door, and he was, hello, hello. And she turned around and was talking to my dad while she was opening the living room door. But because she was talking, I never knew why now, but because she was talking to my dad, she opened the living room door very slowly. And the cup of water didn't fall down on her head. And I, being 10, I didn't realize that's why it didn't fall down. I thought, why is that not falling down? And she talked to me, and then she went away again. And I came over to the door, and I thought, why is that not going? And I grabbed the handle and went like that. And guess who the cup of water ended up right over? Me. The truth of the Bible. I laid a trap, and it ended up right on my own head. Okay, thanks for your attention this evening. I'll get that list to you after, Colin, and we can see what we'll be preaching on next week. Thanks for your attention, brothers and sisters.